Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Becomes an interesting game against the Jets because you still need or want anyway that number one seed. So how do you approach this game?
Interesting how. This is a bad team. They're playing out the string. They're a mess on and off the field. They're having all kinds of problems with some key players. Sheldon Richardson, the latest one. This one to me is, you know, unlike last year, I know a lot of people have been talking about it was the Jets and Dolphins, those last two games last year, and you stubbed your toe and you lost both of those games. I think they really have to try hard, Andy, to lose this one.
Yeah, I think this is gangrene gift wrapped for you Christmas Eve. Yeah. What is it, 17.5 point spread?
17.5.
A lot of people think the Patriots could cruise in this game, apparently.
Well, I mean, the Jets came to play last week, at least for the first three quarters. It was 7-6 in the third quarter, and then the wheels just fell off, and they fell apart. You know, I know the Patriots are hoping that carries through to this game. The question is, you know, how up will the Jets be for this game?
It's always a fair question because it is a division game.
Yeah.
And it is Jets-Patriots. And there is, I think, a legitimate hate, you know, disrespect-ed kind of feeling on both sides there. So you never know what emotion plays. But I think there's a better chance that if you can take care of business early, the Jets will say, it's Christmas Eve. Let's go home.
I think when you fall in New York, you fall hard. And I just don't think that they have the will to compete for four quarters.
And then you take the flip side of that and you look at how well the Patriots played and what they've been doing the last couple of weeks, and you go to Denver and you win the way they want. You know, so even if they don't play, if they're not particularly sharp for whatever reason, the Patriots are showing you now they have all different kinds of ways to win. The defense is playing much better. The offense showed it doesn't even have to have the big passing game and put up the big numbers. We can run the ball. We can be conservative, play field position. So against a team like the Jets that, like you said, they fall hard in New York, Freddie, They don't seem like they have their heart in it. We'll see what their quarterback situation is like. That's sort of unsettled. This is a take care of business kind of a week.
Plus, if you're the Patriots and you're Bill Belichick and you're sort of trying to motivate your team and manipulate through a short week here, I think the only way you screw up what you just did, impressive wins against playoff caliber teams, at home the Ravens, in Denver against the Broncos, is to then stub your toe the next week and let everybody belt back into it, the Raiders and everything else that's going on. So don't screw it up by overlooking a division foe.
And I think that message was immediately sent to, in particular, the new guys like Chris Long and Martellus Bennett. But, you know, going back to that Denver game, you know, if the Patriots defense plays like they did in Denver, it's a slam dunk. Because that defense was reminiscent of 2003, 2004, where the Patriots would get a two-score lead, you know, 10 or 14 points, and it was over. Yeah. And that's the way this game was.
That's exactly how I felt, Freddie. And it's back to the old days when we used to joke around and just say, you know, you would look at me in the middle of the first quarter, it'd be 10-0 or, you know, 14-3. And we just say, this game is over.
Yep.
You're not chasing the Patriots down from behind when they play defense the way that they played the last two games. It was just a regular 2003-like Patriots win where you got enough points early on to make sure that you could win. Just don't screw it up. And they didn't, and they completely suffocated them.
Yep.
And I thought defensively, the only problem you had as a team was the slow start from the offense. And Brady going against, admittedly, not only his house of horrors as the venue, but also the best pass defense in football.
Right.
You don't see Brady start too often 0-for-6, not complete a pass in the first quarter. But again, when you're playing defense like that, forcing some turnovers or at least accepting some turnovers from the other team, you know, that helps out when you're in tough spots.
To me, the more telling thing was the game plan that they put in, you know, with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels to say, we're going to sort of take it out of Tom Brady's hands. And you don't ever see that. They went into that game with the mindset that we're going to run the ball against a bad run defense, even though we're playing on the road, and we're going to stick with it. It wasn't great. The production wasn't off the charts. But I thought to have Deion Lewis be the lead guy behind a fullback, behind your boy, James Devlin, who played a ton of snaps in this game.
Ton of good snaps.
And run conventionally. It wasn't spread out. We weren't trying to trick anybody. We're going to run between the tackles. And Deion Lewis moved the pile. It showed a lot of confidence in the ability of the team to adapt and win a game by choice without Tom Brady being the focal
point.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of credit has to go to that offensive line. You know, mm-hmm. Marcus Cannon has been getting a lot of praise.
It's been a good year for Marcus Cannon. after you got past Denver, which started the year, and he was the whipping boy. We all heard it all offseason. They need to get rid of Marcus Cannon. I think he got in shape heading into a contract year. He got a nice contract extension. I think he's healthy. He's happy. He's getting good coaching. He's enjoying. He's the best offensive lineman. I mean, I think that's a fact.
I agree.
I don't know if they're good enough in every area. I don't know if the pass defense is good enough, the pass rush is good enough, but they have shown examples of being good enough in those areas as this season has worn on, right? Offensively, they can run the ball. So this week, you know, Bill often says you don't run it into a brick wall. Well, this week, I think he said, we're not going to throw it into the best pass defense in football. We're going to run it into a porous run defense.
Right.
They can throw it. They can run it on offense. They have an offensive line that's now protecting. Defensively, they stop the run. They have some versatility at linebacker. They can cover now in the back end, make some plays there. So they may get beaten, but it's not like you go into a game saying, we just don't have X. They have all the tools.
And all the things you just mentioned, I'd add a timely pass rush. Not constant pressure, but at times, you know, when they need it, they can get to the quarterback.
Trey Flowers now leading the team with 7 sacks. This is his third 2-sack game. Again, I don't know where he's going, but right now he's at least giving you a glimpse of he can be a productive, helpful pass rusher.
Yeah, really complimentary game. You're right. I mean, all those different factors worked, and I credit the secondary for giving the guys up front time to get there, and then Andy's right. Trey Flowers really come on lately.
Well, I credit us, because we apparently at some point said the defense sucked.
All right,
we motivated them, and now they're telling everybody they don't suck.
Okay, well, they can tell that next week against the Jets.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, we look at a matchup between the Patriots' rush defense and the Jets' running game. Patriots now ranked number 4 in the National Football League, stopping the run. They've been on a roll for more than a month now. But the Jets are running the ball better. Bilal Powell, more than 200 yards rushing the last 2 games, couple touchdowns, averaging nearly 6 yards per carry on the season. You want to put the pressure on the Jets' quarterbacks? The best way to do that, stop the run first. Patriots have done a good job with that. Keep it going.
Patriots added wide receiver Michael Floyd last week, and it's going to be interesting to see how they get him incorporated into the offense, if at all. Josh McDaniels was very impressed with his awareness, and Charlie Weiss talked earlier last week about him already being up to speed on some of the verbiage of the offense. So there is a possibility that Floyd could get up to speed and on the same page as Tom Brady pretty quickly. The question is, how exactly do they do it? I'm not sure you can expect a whole lot out of him. I think he's more of an insurance policy. But there is a possibility at 6'3" that you could use Floyd down in the red zone. Maybe have a specific package of plays. Maybe find a way to get one big play out of him in the postseason. That could be the difference between winning and losing. An excellent risk by Bill Belichick. Nothing to lose here. It's going to be interesting to see what Floyd does.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash talk this week is simple. Patriots coming off another impressive win. Now the favorites to win the Super Bowl, Paul Perillo. So, if they don't win the Super Bowl come February, is this season a failure?
I just think failure is such a strong word, and you and I are going to argue about this forever, because I feel like anytime you're saying it's win the Super Bowl or bust, I don't know. What kind of team are we dealing with in the NFL? These teams are all really good. The Patriots right now, I agree, they're the favorite. They should get there. If they don't get there, I'll be very disappointed. I think everybody in New England will be very disappointed. But to call it a failure because you don't get to and win the Super Bowl, that's too strong.
Failure is very easy. They were the clear favorite in the summer. We are now in the winter. They are once again the clear favorite. Every other team looks far more flawed than they do. Teams are fading. Other teams you thought that had a chance, Tom Brady is rolling. Bill Belichick's here. You have a major injury, yes, in Gronk. But to me, that's not enough to derail the expectations. And you're right. It wouldn't be fair anywhere else. But in New England, when you've won 14 division titles, 8 division titles in a row, all the crazy statistics they've piled up, it's very simple around here. It's about winning the Super Bowl or the season was a failure.
But it's also about the competition too, Andy. And while I do agree with you that the Patriots are a favorite, and they have been a favorite all along this stretch that you talked about, there are other teams that have as good or comparable records. So there are a lot of other teams right now that think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Have a chance. They think they have a chance. The Patriots should win. That's the difference. All those other teams are trying to talk into, you know, Oakland, they're young and they're dangerous, or Dallas, they're up and coming and they got the young and the offensive line, the whole thing. The Patriots are expected and should be expected to win.
I think you're just going off of history, though, and you know that the
Patriots have been.
No, you're going off of past history, because this season, Dallas has been every bit as good as the Patriots.
Not really.
Seattle came into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. Oakland is one game behind the Patriots. So there are other teams that have played well. What those teams are lacking,
the best
for the most part,
is right
the
now.
Patriots.
Exactly.
I think they are the favorite.
Everybody thinks
I
that.
Said that I think they're the favorite, but to sit there and say they're so much better than everybody else that it's a failure if they lose,
that's too strong.
2007, when you go undefeated and don't win the Super Bowl, that's a failure.
Were they the most talented team coming into this season? Because I heard Bill Belichick all offseason tell me how this team was great, how they had all these Pro Bowlers returning, how it's never been deeper at D-tackle and safety and receiver and tight end. Every position he seemed to think was the best he's ever had it in New England. And oh, by the way, Tom Brady returned. The one unknown was Tom Brady, right? How does he come back from sort of that four-game hiatus? Is he great? Tom Brady has been great.
Yeah, I just think that it's a tenuous spot. I think, you know, you look at the wide
receivers.
That's
what greatness brings.
And we talked earlier in the show about Michael Floyd and what kind of an insurance policy he could be. What happens if something happens to Julian Edelman? I mean, you already lost Gronkowski, and maybe you don't have the kind of weapons. The running game right now has been a big part of the way things have gone. LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis are carrying the load right now. But, you know, an injury here or there can change that. The defense playing at an exceptionally high level. What happens if they slip a little bit? It has been, and I've been a big proponent of the defense, and we argued about it last week. But maybe it has been just against some really bad offenses. If they play a team like Oakland or Atlanta, and the other conference was lighting up the school board every week, maybe they're not quite that good.
You talk about the injuries. Okay, they have more players. They're supposed to be better to get past Gronk because they have Bennett. They have three running backs that are healthy. I'm hearing people tell me this is the best backfield they've ever had in New England, the combination of talents. Too much talent to lose.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Football is the ultimate team sport. That's why more than a few eyebrows were raised when Stanford star Christian McCaffrey decided not to play in his team's bowl game in order to stop prepping for the NFL draft. At first I thought, well, that kind of stinks. You go through a college career with your teammates, and then in your last opportunity to play with them, you say, nah. Then I thought about the money colleges make through their football programs and how zero amount of that goes to the players. And then I thought about all the money McCaffrey has the potential to make being a first-round draft prospect. If he suffers a fluke injury in the meaningless Sun Bowl, the bowl game he's skipping, neither Stanford nor the NCAA will be giving him a golden parachute. You can bet on that. So I understand McCaffrey's decision, and I'm sure that when his former Stanford teammates come calling for tickets for wherever he's playing in the NFL, he won't forget where he came from.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, cornerback Malcolm Butler. And Malcolm, I just want to ask you about the improvement that you and the defense has made over the course of the season, and how do you feel like that's evolved?
You know, every week we try to go out there and get better each and every week. Of course, it's not going to be perfect, but, you know, you always learn from your mistakes, and that will make you better, learning from your mistakes and, you know, trying not to repeat the same error, the same mistake twice. So just got to keep working and, you know, create turnovers, you know, get the ball back to the offense, you know, just do whatever to help the team win.
You mentioned creating turnovers. There was a stretch there, I think you went three games without a takeaway, but lately they've been coming a little bit in bunches. You punched one out, Devin's making hits, doing different things. Is that an attitude? Is that a style of play? How does that happen where it starts just so going in the other direction?
I say it's attitude, and, you know, whatever you put your mind to, you're going to do it. As long as you stay consistent and work hard for it, it'll happen. And, you know, like all coaches and players say, turnovers are contagious. So they most definitely been falling in week in, week out.
Do you guys feel like you're peaking at the right time of year here, building towards the postseason?
Most definitely. You never want to peak early towards the middle of the season. Towards the early of the season. you know, you always want to get better towards the end. So I think we're doing that so far.
You guys are obviously working towards a game this week, but it's also a holiday week. Are you a big Christmas guy? Do you have the all Christmas station on in your car? Or are you watching the specials, Rudolph, those types of things?
No, but I do got a Christmas tree and some lights on my door, so I'm feeling a little holiday spirit.
Speaking of the holiday spirit, the Pro Bowl came out this week. You had four teammates who are going to Hawaii, but or Orlando now, not in Hawaii anymore, but you are not. Any disappointment there? How do you deal with something like that as an individual goal?
You know, you just got to just keep on moving. You know, it's a lot of great players in this league, and every player that's on that list most definitely deserve to be on there.
As you guys get ready for what you said is a work week, game week, New York Jets, when you look at that Jets offense, they have a couple quarterbacks that have played. They have some big play receivers, some physical receivers. What do you see as sort of the strengths of that passing game you need to deal with?
You know, all those guys, they can play. This is the division game. They're going to give us all they can got, and we just got to be out there ready and, you know, not take it for granted. Like, we played this team already. Records don't matter. You know, attitude matters.
They also have a running game, and Bilal Powell is one of the more powerful runners in the NFL. You seem like a cornerback. Everybody always assumes corners don't like to hit. You seem like a guy that does like to hit, does like to tackle. Would you feel like look forward to maybe getting a couple licks in on Powell this week?
Man, whatever comes my way, whatever I can deliver, that's what I got. So whatever happens, happens.
And finally, fans have become aware of the commercial you're in with Antonio Brown. What was it like shooting a commercial, sort of, you know, being on the other side of the camera all the time and making that happen with him?
It was a great experience. You know, it was my first commercial. I enjoyed it. You know, me and Antonio had good talks, you know, just about life and reality. And, you know, I had a good time.
Is it giving you the taste for the acting bug? Do you maybe want to be an actor down the road, do more commercials, movies?
I wouldn't say acting is my cup of tea, but, you know, whatever opportunity I get, you know, I'm going to try my best to make the best of it.
And Butler and the Patriots defense have an opportunity against the Jets Saturday night.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, guys, it's time to answer your questions that you sent to PFW, but first, the Wilson Heart Power Index. So I'm sure the Patriots are still comfortably in the first place.
Very much so. Okay. A full 3-point lead in the index number from first to the second place Chiefs, third place Cowboys, fourth place Raiders. They're very close, though, within a point there. Then you get the Dolphins as a team rising up to the fifth spot. And you know all the bad playoff teams.
So the Chiefs, who should have lost the game to a team that tried to give them the game.
Why do you overanalyze everything?
I don't know.
It's a good index.
I don't see them as the number two team in the league.
I don't care how you see them.
All right. Let's get to your questions. Srikanth writes in.
What was that?
Srikanth. Is Steven Gostkowski back in form, he asks. He looked good in Denver, and the conditions weren't the best.
He's been great. He's the last, I think it's three games in a row now, he's been perfect. And I think that most of us felt like he was in a slump and had not just lost it and was completely, you know, ready to pull the plug there and go in another direction. It's a credit to him because it's such a mental position, you know, and to get that swing back, I think, is not an easy thing to do. But I think at this point, you're sort of wondering, does Bill Belichick now, is he back? Does he have 100% faith? You know, a couple of late-game decisions, in particular this one in Denver. They had a 4th-and-3, well in field goal range at the end of the game, up 16-3. You kick a field goal, make it a 16-point game. That pretty much is going to ensure that the worst that happens is overtime. He went for it on 4th-and-3. Might that have been because of Gostkowski?
No.
I doubt it. I think he would have gone for it anyway.
Yeah,
I think he's back.
He's back. No concerns.
Okay. Kat Curry writes in, any reason the Patriots appear to be the only team without a player donning a Captain C on their jersey? Just another of the finer points of the team first Patriots way, she asks.
Yeah, they choose not to wear them. I once asked Bill, and he said, we don't do it. And I said, okay, Bill, you don't do it, fine. Yeah, I believe they're the only team. They haven't done it since the inception, which is, it's got to be almost a decade now. They've had the C's elsewhere in the NFL. And I do, I think it's sort of a, we don't make anybody stand out any differently. They have captains for a reason, for his little captain's meetings and all that as leaders of the team, but I don't think they want him to visually on the field look, oh, this guy's better than somebody else.
I'll bet you there's also another reason, too. Yeah. We should ask. This probably.
I did ask, and he said he didn't do it.
He basically said they don't do it.
Don't do it, but I bet you there's some other subtle reason.
I'll bet you it has nothing more to do than the league tells him to do it, and he doesn't want to do it.
I think there's more to it. John writes in, Cyrus Jones can't be the most confident Patriot right now. What are the odds the kid gets coached up, slips the yips, and turns into a Desmond Howard in time for a big game contribution?
I would say that that's very slight chances of that happening. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him active again this year.
I don't think he's going to get the chance for that.
Right. I think that you, best case scenario to me for Cyrus Jones is that he has a strong, solid offseason program, puts the work in, and you know, next year at this time, we're laughing about the mistakes that he made in his rookie season. He's now become one of the premier punt returners. But I think you're asking an awful lot for a rookie to overcome the glaring problems that he's had in the spotlight and then all of a sudden turn in a great postseason. That's asking a lot.
Talk about it. If he goes into a game and makes another mistake, it's not on him.
Nope,
that's on you. It's on Bill Belichick.
He has been consistent. He shouldn't be out there.
When a guy shows you what he can do, believe him.
Don't put him in a position to fail and cost you a season.
Right now, right. Mark says, if the Browns or the 49ers make a trade offer for Jimmy Garoppolo and offered their first-round pick, do you think the Patriots would take it?
Yes. I know there's this sort of talk radio caller theory that Bill hates first-round picks. He hates high first-round picks, and they would say no to a trade like that. I don't understand that at all. I think he would take the pick. Now, whether he makes it, you know, I think it's the eighth pick now, the Eagles pick that Cleveland owns. I don't know whether he would make that selection come April, but I think he would take that pick in a heartbeat and figure out how to use it as an asset.
I would agree. I think the only question would be Tom Brady's future. And, you know, I'm going to stick with that he wants to play for a while until he's 45. So I think if you have an opportunity to get a first-round pick for Garoppolo, you take it.
All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW on Patriots.com.